like that. Amen. Amen. Yes, congratulations, Ed. If I haven't said it enough already. All right, I'm waiting for Dylan to give me the good old thumbs up, soldier. I'm good. He says I'm thumbed up. Okay. So we're doing good. That's good news. We are concluding our, week-long preaching study series on being transformed. You guys made it. Good job. Pat yourself on the back. Clap. Go ahead. Come on. It's good. It's all good. Right? So, the last stage of this series is something that's pretty straightforward, and I don't want to overcomplicate it, but we've already covered really the bigger stuff, okay? We covered first, which was your mind, right? And having a transformed mind, what does that allow us to do? It helps us be able to really see the things that God's putting forward and putting in our lives. We have to have that transformed mind, right, in order to be able to focus on the things of God, right? Because what does the enemy want to do? Cloud it with a whole bunch of junk so that we're ineffective, okay? So we figured that out. What was the second part? We needed a transformed, does anybody remember? Body, there you go, right. We need a transformed body. Okay. This is again part of that process of becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? We have to put away those things that are not healthy or not good for us because people are watching you and observing you. And so your physical presence has an impact. And we have to have that transformed body. We have to have a transformed will, right? Because we have to allow our will to be submitted to His will so that we do the things that He's telling us to do, right? Okay, we've made it this far. The last step in this process is having a transformed destiny. Now, here's the thing. The thing that's unique about this is that you really don't have much to do with this one. How many people are happy about that? That's good news, okay? Because you got a lot to do with the first three. So you don't have nearly as much to do with this last part, but there is an important role that you play. And you can either be a part of the right plan or the wrong plan. And it kind of ties in for you guys that were actually a part of our Wednesday night study. You guys kind of got the primer, which is good. You've got the cliff notes to this because we're going to kind of be picking up on some of the notes from there. All right? So we all have a destiny. Do we understand that? You have a destiny. If you weren't aware, you have one, okay? You were actually created with the intent. God created you with intent that there is a goal, there is something important that you were designed to accomplish, okay? Whether you believe it or agree with it, it is fact. That is all there is to it. If you don't believe me, you can look it up, all right? In a non-transformed state or in a state where you're still not fully in agreement with this plan that God has in your life, okay, you are set out to accomplish your own destiny, okay? And you can think about this. Just take a minute. Before you knew who God was and His plan for your life, you were out trying to achieve yours. Think back to what your plans were. What were you trying to establish for your life? What were you trying to set up for yourself? Some people, it's money. Right? A lot of people, they want to get that nice cozy job, earning six figures, drive a Bentley, whatever, right? That's their plan. They have a plan. Is that plan God's plan? Probably not. Okay? I'm not saying that you can't have those things, but I'm just stating that that plan is based on things that are here. Things that are temporal. That's what our plans are going to be based on. Our plans are always going to be based around temporal things or things that we can see, things that we can touch, tangible things. The things that God has planned for you are not temporal. The things that God has planned for you are much greater than that. There's something bigger at stake. There's people's lives at stake, souls. And so we have a bigger plan in God's kingdom. Amen? We can understand that? Okay? And what we learned on Wednesday is that whether you think you do or don't, this is fact, you serve a master. You are always going to be obedient to a master. One master or another. So depending on what you're doing and what you're obeying determines the master that you're obeying. Right? Okay, we learned this on Wednesday. So if you were a part of this, you kind of got that primer. All right? Here's the key missing ingredient. And this is what we kind of didn't really touch on Wednesday, but we're going to really focus on it here today. How can you tell? How can you tell what master you serve? There's something that pops up in your life that is evident, that shows you whom you serve. And that is called what? Fruit. Everybody will produce fruit. You may not like what fruit you're producing, but you will produce it. And that will tell you all you need to know. So if you could turn to Romans 6:16. And again, we talked about this on Wednesday. This was the same scripture we used on Wednesday. So again, you guys got that head up. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? In a nutshell, you are serving somebody. By your obedience, you are serving somebody. You are a slave to that master. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness, which leads to life. So you are a slave to either sin or you are a slave to righteousness. One of those two are your master. This is simple. It's not that hard, okay? Here's the key. That master has a plan for your life. Do you understand this? That master has a plan for your life. And we can clearly see that the master of sin has a plan for your life that will lead to what? Now, does that mean your death? It's not saying your death. No, it's just saying death in general. Which means you will not produce things that will produce life. You will produce things that will actually produce death. That's things like negativity. You're talking down on people, depression, suicide, different types of spirits that you'll entertain, right? There's going to be a lot of things that come upon you, and not only that, but that will produce fruit. And that fruit will be taken by somebody else, and they will be experiencing that in their life. You actually will impact somebody else's life with that problem area in your life. It happens. Sin is contagious almost. It's like a disease. Okay? But in the same regard, so is righteousness. Right? Because righteousness, not my righteousness, but his righteousness, cancels out sin and death. So if I am an ambassador, a slave of righteousness, and I'm producing righteous fruit out of my life, and somebody who maybe is stuck in sin, who's stuck in that life, partakes of said fruit, they are getting closer to getting clean. Do we understand this principle? Then you understand what that destiny looks like. See, what happens is that, think of it this way. You're serving a master. You're obeying things. Those obediences or those things that you're obeying, they're like goals or markers throughout your life. People set goals all the time, right? You set goals, whether you're setting goals for things you want to accomplish in a year, or you have goals at work of things you have to accomplish day by day by day, right? Those goals that you're setting out to accomplish, those things that you're setting up, each time you achieve that goal, it's like you kind of put a flag in the ground that said, here, I did this. I completed this task. I've taken this ground. But what happens if we're working out our destiny? What do those goals produce? What do those goals create for us? What they create are actually stumbling blocks later in life. And a lot of people struggle with things that they've done when they were trying to accomplish their own destiny after they've accepted Christ, because those things have been built up. Now, what does that mean? Well, sometimes what it means is that God has to go through and do this with your life and clear out all those things that were set up, because those things will continue to produce fruit, and that fruit will continue to pour in bad things. We understand what's going on. Okay? Destiny is important, right? John 15, 5 through 8 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. That's pretty good. Okay? For without me, you can do nothing. This is important. This is actually a really, really key scripture. Because what we're talking about is a concept of, wait a minute, I thought you said you'll produce fruit, but it won't be good fruit. But here he says you will produce nothing. That nothing is not that you won't produce a fruit. That means that the quality or the content of that fruit is nothing. Its value is nothing. It has no value. When it comes to the much value of the fruit that he produces in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay? So I want us to clearly understand that. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. There are consequences for continual pursuit into your destiny, while the other destiny that God is calling you to is being enacted. Because you can't serve two masters. Do you understand that? You can't serve two. And our God is a jealous God. He wants you to himself. He does not want you divided. We have other scriptures that says, be you either hot or cold, but if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. That is because he is not going to tolerate you not making up your mind. He wants you to decide, be decided that you are going to abide in him, because he does not want to be putting himself into you if you are just going to continue to not do the things he's told you to do, to not continue to commit to the things that he's called you to. Does that mean he doesn't love you? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything about his love. His love is unconditional. But the products that come out of your life are based on something. And we're going to get there in just a minute. Okay? Continuing on then. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That is the goal. That's the goal. That we bear much fruit and that we become his disciples. That's the plan that God has for your life. What does that look like? Well, let's talk about two major areas first, right? First, we have to continue with Jesus, right? We have to continue with his plan for our life. What does that require of us? Simple. It's called a relationship. You can't tell me you know what Jesus' plan for your life is when you're not in a continual relationship with him. Because you're going to be missing details. Because guess what changes every day? Everything on the planet changes day by day by day. Your circumstances change. Everybody else's circumstances around you change. People move. People transition. Jobs transition. All kinds of stuff happens, right? If I had a plan for my life when I got saved, back when I was working at Sam's Club, and God said, your plan was to evangelize and witness to the people that were in Sam's Club. And I go, okay, that's my plan that God has for me. Great. I haven't been at Sam's Club for almost 13, 14 years. If that was still the destiny that God had for me. And I was just holding on to that. And I never ever went back to Jesus. I never went back and said anything. I'd be pretty darn ineffective, wouldn't I? Because I haven't been there for almost 15 years. I haven't done the things that he told me to do 15 years ago. But I'm still, if I'm still stuck there, and I'm still holding on to that, right? Can I move forward? Can I actually progress past that point? Or do I understand that the relationship that I have with Jesus continues to be updated? It's like hitting the refresh button on your screen. You know what I'm talking about? You can't continue to keep, if you go to the news section on your website and it still has the news from like 8 months ago and you never hit the refresh on your website page, you're going to still think things that have happened 8 months ago are still happening. And you're not going to know what's changed. Things have changed. And so as time moves forward, things change. We have to be in a relationship in order to know the changes that God has made for us and the plans that he has changed for us as we move together. Does this make sense? We're in it together. We're not by ourselves. Okay? The other part of this equation is his words. And what that does is that is a tool for us to know whether or not we are following his steps. We are on his plan. We are listening and clearly understanding that this is what God has said to me. And how do we know this? Well, the word does two things for us. It will either bring conviction. That means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So if you're reading and you get convicted in an area, oops, it's okay. Repent and get it under the blood and move forward. Or it will do the other C, which is it will confirm. Because you will be doing the things that you're doing and you'll go, man, I really need to know that I'm doing the right thing. And you're going to go in there and you're going to find it and it's going to go, yes, because this is what I told you to do and I've confirmed it by my word. So now you know what you have to do. You can't go back and go, oh, wait, I'm not sure. No. So it will either tell you you're doing it wrong or you're doing it right. That's good news. What this allows us to do, this keeps us on his path. And that path will allow us to bear much what? Fruit. So this is the product of our lives. Amen? That's what it's about. There is much in the fruit that we produce and its place in our destiny. As we already discussed, you can only serve one master. And based on the master we serve, we will produce fruit of the same kind because like kind produces like kind. We know this. That's just simple. Yep, simple principle. Okay? If we are transformed instantly, and this is key, I want you to think about this. If we are transformed instantly into our right destiny by coming to Christ, how many believe that? The moment you accept Jesus Christ, you are instantaneously transformed into a new destiny that God has planned for you and has had planned for you from the moment you were born. But you are transformed. You are now able to pursue that destiny. Right? We agree. Why then do we still find bad fruit from time to time? Here's the key. The reality of this is, and this is the hard thing to swallow, it's because you have not become truly transformed. What does it mean? Here's what it means. You could go to Jesus Christ and you can accept him as Lord and Savior. And yes, in that very moment, your life is changed. Your life is transformed. However, Jesus is not a one-trick pony. You can't one and done this. It doesn't work that way. Because everything in your life and everybody's life around you will consistently change. So therefore, you have to be connected to him consistently. That is your relationship. So that transformation is actually reflective upon the relationship that you have, not the one-time installment. So you can't, and this is, you know, this is not a once saved, always saved message, but you can't hold on to that principle because that principle is flawed. Because by that standard, if you still have bad fruit in your life and you're going, but I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 22 years old, I'm 55 years old and I still have all this junk in my life. Why? Well, the reason why is because you haven't done anything with Jesus since you were 22 years old. You just accepted him. That doesn't mean anything. It means you have eternal salvation. That's great. But that has nothing to do with your destiny because your destiny is not heaven. That's not your destiny. I will tell you that today. That is not your destiny. That's your arrival day. But your destiny is here. There's something he has for you here while you still have breath in your lungs. He didn't give you a plan for your life that was upon death. Think about that. He didn't give you life to just go suffer here until you die, then you can have your destiny. Doesn't that seem kind of cruel? God's not cruel. God's not cruel. No, that's because your plan isn't when you die. Your plan is when you were born. When he put breath in your lungs, he gave you a destiny, he gave you a plan. The problem is we got sidetracked. And now we're getting back on track, but the way we stay on track is based off of the relationship you continue to upheld with your Lord and Savior. If you don't have it, that's not fully transformed. There's still lack. There's still a lack of commitment. It's a whole committed process. You have to be, we say, sold out. Okay, fine. Call it what you want. I just say, go deeper. I just say, go deeper. If you're still finding things that you don't like popping up in your life, go deeper. Because Jesus has a plan for that to be out of your life. He doesn't intend for you to keep it. He doesn't want you to produce bad fruit because that produces nothing. No, he wants you to bear much fruit. So if he wants you to bear much fruit, that means that that has to go. And that means he has a plan for it to go. But you got to stay connected. Amen? So let's go there. Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20 says, "You will know them by their fruit." You will know them. So that means immediately, right from the door, everything I was just telling you about, that bearing fruit process, that is an identifiable marker of whether or not you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ or not. And I don't mean to point fingers, but that's really actually better. That's good. That's a good thing. Think about this. That's really good because if you see something in your life and you're like, this don't look right. You can't turn around and go, I'm in one of those periods, I guess, where God's testing me. No, that's not what God's doing. That's not God's testing. I will tell you, that's not a trial or tribulation. No, that's not his fruit. You're not satisfied because that's not his fruit in your life. That's your fruit. You produce something you didn't like. And sometimes it's hard to swallow. But you know what? Time to own that. Because there's a way to get out of it. But if you see something that you don't like, yeah, other people see it too. Believe me, they do. And it reduces our credibility. That's why we're always called hypocrites. Because we say one thing, we do another. And Christians are called that constantly. Well, if somebody calls you out on it, do something about it. Don't defend it. But they will know them by the fruit that's in your life. That, I like that. Personally, I'm appreciative of that. That means if I see something I don't like, I go, what'd I do? How'd that get there? Help me. Help me, Lord. I don't know what I did. I did something wrong. I don't know what I did. Please show me. Reveal it to me. Help me get rid of this out of my life because I don't want to be known for that. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Like kind producing like kind. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. There's that thing again. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. If you read into this a little deeper, you know the like kind producing like kind part, that's true. But what else is here? Well, let's talk about it. What is fruit? Nom 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 nom. Banana. Nom nom nom. Apple. Nom 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 nom. Fruit, that's what we're talking about, fruit, right? No, we're not talking about that kind of fruit. Okay. What is then fruit that we're talking about? Well, fruit Fruit is the product of your faith in action. And here's the key. If you don't have faith, did you produce fruit? Yeah, you did. You did produce fruit. You did produce fruit. Because nothing is technically still fruit. Just because you didn't believe, you have unbelief, that unbelief is fruit. That unbelief is actually a product that comes out of your life. Because what people are looking at and going is like, oh, wait, he's one of those Christians. He goes to one of those non-denominational churches, right? He goes to streams. Right? What? He's sitting there talking about how God's going to get rid of his debt. And he's drowning. Does he not believe that God's going to handle that? Does God not, is he not, what's going on there? You produced fruit. Whether you think you did or not, you did. Because that was a product of a bad tree. And what does the tree signify? The tree is who you have faith in. See, if you have faith in the good tree, and you produce good fruit, you have faith in believing in whom? God Almighty, right? God Almighty is the good tree. He is the good shepherd. He produces good things in our lives. He gives us the ability to speak into areas and say, move to the mountain and watch it be cast out in the sea. That's because of his power and authority that he has given us through faith to believe can be enacted in our lives. That will produce good fruit. The bad tree, however, is not a product of, well, that's the devil then, right? No. The bad tree is not the devil. I'm gonna just clear that up. It's not the devil. Who's the bad tree? You. You're the bad tree. When you are operating in your own flesh, your own desires, your own ability, your own strength. Because it's not I who live, but it is he who lives in me. So if I am trying to sit on the throne and make decisions for my life, is that what God wanted for my life? How can I abide in much fruit then? I need to abide in who? I got to abide in him, or I won't produce much fruit. So the bad tree is just not the devil or sin or any of those things. No. No, it's you. It's you, not you, spiritual you. It's you, physical you. It's you doing the things that you want. It's you taking back your life. It's you taking your body off of the cross and going, I'm not done with the things I wanted to do yet, God. I'll just be okay with eternal salvation for now. I'll come back to you later. Can we see this? Can we see how this is operating? Proverbs 16. Verse 9. You got it, though. Thanks. And here's how I can confirm it. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Our heart, our personal, physical life, it's our like innate desire to want to plan for our lives. And I'm not saying that there aren't plans that you should make for your life. But if you're not submitting them to the Lord and seeing if they line up with his word, you could be in a dangerous spot because you could be the bad tree and you could be lining up to produce bad fruit in your life that you're not going to like when you get it. Because bad fruit's kind of bad, isn't it? It's like, it's disgusting. I don't know anybody who likes going around like eating bad grapes. Oh, these are extra sour. You're more Christ-like than I am. You can drink that sour wine. I'll pass. But the Lord directs his steps. What that means is that is fully submitted, fully surrendered to every step towards the goal. That goes back to what I was saying about that relationship, right? Because I don't want to make a wrong step. So if I know I made a step and I go, okay, where am I supposed to step next? Who's the best author of my next step? Me or God? If I'm allowing him to direct my steps, I should then say, all right, based on the relationship that I currently have with my Lord and Savior, I know that this is the next step he's telling me to take. Because he's telling me to go here. He's telling me to go there. I'm following his leading. I'm following his steps. Is this making sense, church? By allowing God to direct our steps, what do we get? Well, first thing you get is you ensure that you're on his plan for you. You ensure it. You're connected. You're in a relationship. You're hearing. You're sensing what the Spirit's leading you to do. You know you're doing the things he's telling you to do. You have what then? You have confidence. Have you seen Christian men and women with confidence towards the things they know God has said for their lives? I mean, these people are dangerous. I like them. I do. I like them. Because that confidence, it builds confidence. Have you been next to a brother or sister in the Lord who's really, really got that, like, that fire of knowing God is going to do something tremendous? And you just go, yeah! Then you go, yeah, you do it. And he's looking at you going, no, you do it. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to do it. Because apparently, that's what God said. And I know because that brother is telling me that he knows that God said that and we're in agreement. Because confidence. There's confidence. Okay? What else? We guarantee. Who was the guy that did that? I guarantee. I forget. He's a boxer. I can't remember his name. Not Evander Holyfield. The other guy with the burger machine. George Foreman. Yeah, he did that. I guarantee. Right? You can guarantee the fruit that will be produced in your life. Guaranteed. You will not get bad fruit. It's not possible. You can't have it if you are here and you are allowing God to direct your steps and you are allowing yourself to be totally in line with his plan and your destiny that he has for your life. Because the fruit is a required necessity. Hear me, church. That fruit is a required necessity. It is part of the plan. The fruit you produce is part of the destiny in your life. He wants to see that faith that he has given to you move out in action. He's created you to do great things. He even said so. You will do even greater works than these, did he not? So that means there's greater works that you have that you will do because of your faith and your relationship. And lastly, we have this knowing that Jesus dwells within us. Jesus abides in us. And through that, we bring ultimate glory to God. Think about that. I want to just think about that for a minute. Because we have submitted everything in our being, every part of our makeup, to the destiny and the plan that God has, Jesus dwells within me and I ultimately always bring glory to God. Always. I mean, if that doesn't warm your heart, knowing that you went from being an enemy to God to now bringing glory to him. That's a dramatic change of life. That's a dramatic transformation in your destiny. Is it not? Do we see it? Do we see it, church? That's the big picture. That's what it really means. To really understand transformation, to understand what it means to be completely transformed, that's truly what it looks like. That's the full picture. If you're wondering, what's the end game look like? The end game isn't heaven. The end game is that you are built for a destiny and a plan in your life that is to produce much fruit that is going to impact the world. Not just your neighbor. Neighbors. Plural. The whole point of our destiny is to have God dwell in us and for us to bring him glory. By doing this, we will produce much fruit. And again, as I stated before, this fruit is not for us as for us to consume it. It is good to see it, so we know that we're doing it, we know that we're on the right track, but ultimately the fruit is not for us. The fruit is for those who are hungry, for those who are thirsty. By our relationship to the tree of Jesus, our destiny will be to produce that same fruit. We will produce the fruit of Jesus Christ in our lives for everybody around us that needs him. That, I mean, that's it. That is the goal. That is the plan. That is the purpose. That is the ultimate destiny. Is there a separate path that each of you are on? Absolutely. Many are called, few are chosen. There's a calling in each of our lives. There's a certain way God wants to use you. You have gifts, you have talents. But to do nothing and to sit on them, what I'm telling you is that's not your destiny. That's not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life is to be an impact. God's plan for your life is to impact others. God's plan for your life is to do same thing that the disciples did when Jesus left. Because we're to be his disciples. And what did they do? They turned the world right side up. They changed lives everywhere they went. Not because of their physical ability, but because the power of God was using them to move richly among his people. The fruit that they produced. If we understand where we're going as a church, not just here, Streams Church, but as a church worldwide, the Church of Jesus Christ, that is the big plan. That's what he died for. That's what he gave us life for. That was the purpose. That's what it's all about. That's what Christianity is about. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? And it might seem harsh to have to give up those plans that you had for your life. Those big grandiose things that you thought that you needed to have or you wanted to have. God's not cruel. He still will give you the things that you desire. As long as you're faithful. And you're putting that faith in action. Okay? But we have to understand that God has always had an ultimate plan for your life. And on the basis of better or best, and take a minute, do you believe that there is something better than what God has for you? Because if you do, you will be pursuant to it. But if you believe that God has the best, the absolute best for you, you won't be focused on the better. Because the best is always better than the best. Right? You can't have anything better than the best. You get what I'm saying? And we have to understand that God has the best plan for your life. The absolute best. And if we are ready to go there, then I just invite you, accept the fact that this transformation process wasn't a one-trick pony. It's not a one-and-done deal. It is based primarily on you continuing to deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ every single day of your life. Because as you are, he will direct your steps, you will produce much fruit, and you will be his disciple, and you will do those things he has set you up to do. And your reward? Well, your reward is simple. Those things you want, you will have. Those things that you desire, he will give them to you. That is your reward for your faithfulness. Church, we don't have to live as paupers, because the destiny he has for you is to be a king and a queen. That's your destiny. You are destined to rule. You are destined to reign. And it's about time, I think, that the Church of Jesus Christ stops living as paupers and starts ruling and reigning. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you for the word you've given your people today, God. I thank you, Lord, for its provision for our lives, God. I thank you that it is the basis of truth that we need, God, as sustenance to see the plan and purposes for your life, God, to see your will in our lives, God, to know whether we are on your track or we are on our track, God. So, Father, I hope that today, God, your word has found fertile soil in our hearts, God. I hope and pray, Lord, that it is working diligently, God, to transform our lives. that, Lord, we would come deeper and deeper in our relationship to knowing you more and more intimately, God, as a bridegroom and bride, just intertwine in that marriage, Father, that you continue to just be there and strengthen us, continue to allow us to bear much fruit as we abide in you and you abide in us, God. We thank you, God, that you have paid it all, God, that you have done it all, God. You have paid the ultimate price, God. There is nothing we can do except just believe that you have a plan and a destiny for our lives and to walk out in faith, God, in pursuant to all those things you have directed us to do. So, Lord, as we release your people today, Father, let them just have their steps firmly directed and planted, believing that you are the author and finisher of their lives, God, and that you have a purpose and a plan for them, and that they are going to do great and wonderful things to bring glory to you today and every day from this day forward, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.